Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Gym Ramble. If you are here listening, I just wanted to stop and say I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for spending your time with me. Whether you're on a drive, on a walk, cleaning the house, listening to this podcast, or you're just sitting and working, or just lying down and wanting to listen to me speak. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to jump into today's topic. I think this is going to be a good one, and I think one that a lot of us, if not all of us, can resonate with, and that is with self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is something that I have been through a lot in my fitness journey. I still suffer with it, or I still go through it. I shouldn't say suffer. I still go through periods of self-sabotage, and I think now I'm at a place where I can identify it a lot easier. And I can be honest with myself about, okay, like, Alicia, you're showing signs of self-sabotaging right now. Like, we got to get out of this, right? I feel like because I've spent a long time kind of on this fitness journey, I can identify it a lot easier. But I also feel like those same self-sabotaging habits happened to me a lot on my entrepreneurial journey. And since that journey has been more recent, I feel like I identify with these things in a different way. So I also wanted to say I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not a therapist. I have just been through these things myself. And over the last few years of coaching hundreds of women on their health and fitness journeys, I have seen majority of these things pop up from time to time. And so, you know, once you kind of work through helping women get on the other side of these self-sabotaging tendencies, you tend to just pick up on them a lot more, right? So we're going to be breaking down kind of the five sneaky ways that self-sabotage can be apparent in your health and fitness journey. Maybe you can resonate with one of these, maybe you can relate to all of them, or maybe one of these resonates with you, or maybe all of them do. But I think that self-sabotage is so much more than just procrastinating. I think when we think of self-sabotage in our fitness journeys, it's falling off the wagon or procrastinating or not going to the gym. But it can be a lot sneakier than just that, okay? And I think that in order to create any sort of change in any habit that you want to make or a habit that you want to break, awareness is the first step to making that change. So while I'm not going to present an exhaustive list of things and remedies and how to go about changing these things, because I think it is so person-to-person dependent, my goal with this podcast is to at least provide awareness and to get you to really be honest with yourself about, okay, can I relate to this? Is this present in my life? And then start to think about what you can do to remedy this, right? So that is my purpose with this podcast today, and to also make you not feel alone if this is something that you're dealing with, because I have dealt with all of these, like I said, both in my fitness journey and a lot of them more recently in my entrepreneurial journey as well. All right, so starting off strong, the first way that self-sabotage can be present in your fitness journey is you are keeping your goals and actions really vague, so you always have a way to justify shortcomings and to shift back timelines. Okay, this was me when I first ventured out to make a lifestyle change for myself. I knew I wanted to lose weight. I knew I wanted to look toned, but I had an idea of what it took to get there, but I was too afraid of setting concrete goals for myself because then it almost forced me to step up to the plate. And if I fell short, I could see the marginal difference between where my goal was and how far short I fell. Right? So that gap becomes much more real when you set more concrete goals. So what did I do? I set very vague goals. I said things like, I want to be consistent on my fitness journey. Okay, what is consistent? Consistently doing what? Consistently eating healthy? Okay, what is healthy? Consistently going to the gym? Okay, how many days, right? Like, what are we lifting? You know, like, I just kept things super vague because I didn't want to face the fact that maybe I didn't know what I was doing, or maybe I needed help, or maybe I was going to have to do trial and error, right? Because to me, it was almost like, well, if I'm just trying my best, then that's good, right? And yeah, we should all be trying our best, right? But I wanted specific goals, and I was just too afraid to admit that to myself because I didn't really know if I had what it took to succeed. So that's kind of the first thing is, are you keeping your goals really vague because you're almost holding yourself back from having these bigger goals, from making this lifestyle change, from saying like, you know what, yes, like this is actually what I want for myself and I'm going to do the work to get there. And if I can't figure it out on my own, then I'm going to have somebody in my corner who can help me figure it out, who can show me the way. So something else that I would do is to speak to the second point of shifting back timelines, I would always have this caveat of, yeah, I really want to reach my health and fitness goals, but I still want to have a balanced life, or, but I know that I'm really busy right now. So maybe when I graduate and I'll be less busy, right? Because at this time I was in college. So I was like, well, I have a lot going on right now. Like this is kind of, you know, I'm in my early 20s. I want to live a balanced life. So I do want this fitness thing to happen, but I also want to make sure that I'm just being balanced, right? And that's fine. Again, I want you to live your life too, right? But you, a life worth living is also one where you are prioritizing your goals, I believe. And I cared a lot about my goals. So the fact that I was giving myself this out of like, yes, this goal is really important to me, but I also want to do this, that, or the other thing, or, but I know that I'm really busy right now, so maybe now's not the best time, or maybe I'll just give like 50% now, and then once this time has passed or once this thing is over, then I'll be able to give 100, right? And that just wasn't it getting me anywhere. And I think what I had to do is set concrete goals and set an action plan that was going to fit into my current season of life, right? And understand that everything that I was trying to do on my fitness journey was going to take time anyway, and time was going to pass anyway. So I might as well be doing what I can and controlling what I can now to get to that place as efficiently and effectively as possible, right? Eventually I did get there, but that's why when I show before and after pictures of my fitness journey, it was like, hey, here's 2016. And then I show something, you know, a couple years later, you can see progress shorter than years down the line, right? But I just had these self-sabotaging tendencies for so long that kept me in this all or nothing, yo-yo dieting, overeating and undereating, gaining and losing the same 5-10 pounds for years, okay, before I finally had to address these things. So that's number one. The second way that self-sabotage can be present in your fitness journey is if you fall back on old habits and disregard any sort of success when things get good, when you start to get the ball rolling. Right? I see this in a lot of clients. If something bad happens, maybe they have a bad body image day, maybe they set their expectations for a weekend and didn't really follow to plan. Maybe they thought they were going to achieve X this week and then they didn't get around to it. And to them and to me, right? Because this was me, it's almost a matter of like, well, I knew this was going to happen. Like, well, you know, this always happens. And so you almost identify falling short as the norm. And then when something good happens, like, hey, you know, we're seeing progress either in photos or on the scale, or you're just feeling better overall. If something good happens, then you're almost just waiting for the other shoe to drop and you don't actually celebrate yourself. You're just like, well, you know, it's nice while it lasted, or, oh my gosh, well, just wait till X happens. You know, you're disregarding the good and you're focusing so much on the quote bad of like, oh, you know, this is my norm, like just letting myself down, you know, I think in a way we do that because we don't want to set expectations so high because we don't want to, you know, it's kind of like hope for the best, prepare for the worst. I think in a way, sometimes we do that to ourselves and to our goals because we don't want to feel let down, right? But what is that actually doing? You're not going to feel motivated to continue down this path if that's what you're saying and if that's how you're looking at your goals and the steps you're taking to get there, right? So that's the first, or that's the second part, right? Disregarding any sort of success when things get good. And if you fall back into old habits when things get good, it might be because you are having a major case of imposter syndrome. Because if you fall back to old habits, that's your comfort zone. That is who you identify as. I identify as somebody who can't go to the gym consistently. I identify as somebody who always has to eat after a drink, right? I identify as somebody who wakes up late and doesn't go outside for a walk. I identify as somebody who can't hit their protein or doesn't like to go grocery shopping for foods that are like Whole Foods, right? Like whatever it is. If you have imposter syndrome and you don't view yourself as somebody who can make this change, you are not going to change. And that's why, genuinely, I think so many people thrive when they have a fitness coach, because you are thrown into an environment and you have a mentor who already sees you as this version of yourself. They already see you as somebody who can hit their macros, who can hit their training, who can figure it out, who can do these things. Right. So if you're kind of dwelling alone in your own, you know, oh, this is how I'm always going to be, like, this is just who I am, it's really hard to break into this next version of myself who can do these things, who can achieve these goals. You need to get yourself into an environment. I don't care if it's with a coach or not. You need to get yourself into an environment where you can step into this person and have different habits and feel like, okay, I don't have this major imposter syndrome to the point where I'm needing to fall back into my comfort zone. Maybe that's making a fitness Instagram and following other people, right? Maybe that's joining an online community of people who have similar goals to you, right? Like, we have a free Facebook group. Like, come on in, chat it up, talk about your goals. We'll hype you, right? These things really do matter. And I contribute a lot of me stepping into this version of myself, this person who can have a fit and healthy lifestyle, to my fitness Instagram. My Fitness by Alicia page started as a secret back in college because I just needed an outlet and I needed people to network with online that I felt like understood what I was trying to do, right? Like, it's a lifestyle change. It's hard, right? It's not a piece of cake. Like, it's truly like, hey, I'm going to start prioritizing this in my life. And even though I'm still going to focus on other things from time to time in my life, this is going to take up a lot more time than it usually did, and like energy and just like mental power to figure this thing out, right? And over time, that's going to become your new normal, and that's going to become easier, and you're going to feel, you know, really good because you're prioritizing your goals. But at the beginning, it's going to feel like imposter syndrome, and you're going to want to fall back to your old habits. So what systems do you have in place? What community do you have in place? What boundaries do you have in place to stop you from doing that, right? Like, really taking a look at that is important because, yeah, at the end of the day, you're responsible for yourself and for your own actions, but community and environment can really help you step into that version of yourself a whole lot quicker. And that is something that I really recognized with myself when I started my fitness Instagram page, when I started engaging with other people who were already doing what I wanted to do, and when I hired my first coach. This third point that I'm about to make is something that I see quite often, and it is not fully going all in on your goals, because if you fail, you will always have the excuse of, but I didn't really go all in, so that's okay. Okay? I see this in so many people, and this was me for so long. It kind of goes hand in hand with the other points that we were talking about earlier, with being really vague about your goals and not really viewing yourself as that person who can go all in and who can, you know, become this person who has this fit lifestyle change, because you're doing that out of safety. Okay. If your track record is trying diets and falling off the wagon, for lack of a better term, and then losing weight, gaining the weight back, and feeling like you're going in circles, or just telling yourself time and time again that you want all these things for yourself, but you don't have the time, or you have too many responsibilities or too many things going on, then yeah, it's gonna be really hard to go in all in on your goals, because up until that point, all you've ever experienced is getting your hopes up and letting yourself down. So the fact that you have the opportunity to try something new, like developing a lifestyle change for yourself, hiring a coach, or just going all in, whatever that means for you, I understand the fear. And I understand just the mental capacity that it takes to work yourself up to try something new or try something again, especially if you feel like you have a really high hill to climb. Like you're like, my fitness goal seems so far away. Wouldn't it just be easier to like stay where I'm at now? Okay. And I want you to know that number one, you're not alone in thinking that. I vividly remember thinking that, because if you go back to the first two episodes of this podcast, I talk about my fitness journey and oh my goodness, I went in circles for years. And I could have been like, hey, you know what? This just isn't in the cards for me. I'm not going to go all in on my journey because it's just, I keep letting myself down. Like maybe I'm not disciplined enough. Maybe this just isn't working out for me. I feel like I've tried everything, but I hadn't tried everything up until that point. I had just tried the same thing, marketed a little bit differently by the dieting industry in a different way, right? But what I hadn't actually tried is going all in on myself in the long term. A lifestyle change seemed scary for me because I didn't think that I could commit to a lifestyle for myself if I could not even be on any sort of diet for more than like 2 weeks at a time. So the fact of somebody being like, hey, we're going to change your body composition. It's going to be like a year long process. And, you know, I'm going to be your coach. We're going to do a reverse diet. And then we're going to do a cut and then blah, blah, blah. Like that all seemed nice. But then when I took a step back, I was like, I don't think I can commit to that. Like that seems nice. And I understand scientifically like how it works, but I just don't feel like I can go all in on that. Because I've tried all these things. And it really took me understanding that if you're doing things correctly and if you're doing things playing the long game, fad diets don't do that. So you're doing something differently, okay? If you're trying to fit fitness into life, if you're focusing on your habits instead of how fast can I see the scale go down, if you're focusing on your habits, if you're leading with education and strategy of like, okay, why does my body need this? What am I going to tweak so that I get this result, right? Whether it's like building a balanced meal, learning what makes a good pre-workout meal, understanding how to train for your goals, understanding the importance of like sleep and movement throughout the day, having a step count, things like that. Like those are little things that add up to big changes, okay? But trying to do the big changes that only work in the short term, like cutting out all carbohydrates, cutting out all sugar, typing in a macro calculator for weight loss and having it be like, great, 1200 calories a day. And you're like, okay. And then you do that. And then you don't know where to go after you're kind of mentally over hitting that low, low amount of food. Like that's not a lifestyle change. Okay. And you know, we really preach making these small habits that lead to big results. But even if you hire a coach, you have to understand that if it's meant to be a lifestyle change, it's not going to be shoving a 12 month transformation into 12 weeks. You have to be in it for the long game. Depending on where you're at, that could look like 6 months. That could look like a year. That could look like 2 years, right? It's really going to depend on your starting place, your goals, your dieting history, yada, yada, yada. But I do know that it is going to be so much more enjoyable if you just go all in on it, okay? Because if this is taking up so much mental capacity in your brain, like, I wish I had a lifestyle change. I wish I had a lifestyle change. I wish I was the person who could do X, Y, Z. Imagine if you just had a plan for yourself and you were like, actually, this is what I'm going to commit to for the entire year. And it's not a set of rules. It's a set of just like strategies and things you want to implement. I want you to focus on what you want to add to your life, not what you want to take away. What are you going to add to make your fitness journey a part of your life? I really want you to ask yourself that. And I promise I'm not trying to pitch coaching or anything like that. Like you can do this on your own. Okay. Yes, it's valuable to have somebody else there, but if that's not feasible for you, you're not lost, right? Like you can implement these things, but you have to go all in and understand that you are worth just sitting down and writing down the changes you want to make, writing down what you want to add to your life, writing down how you can stick up for yourself and build yourself up, because you can't pour from an empty cup. What time are you going to take for yourself and your goals? What things are you going to shift around priorities wise to make this something that you're going to go all in on, right? How are you going to track data? Don't shy away from tracking data because you're like, well, like, I don't want to take progress photos because what if I look worse? No, you're going to commit to this. Okay. Take data, take progress photos, go to the gym, write yourself a training split, understand the cause and effect of what you're doing and how your body's responding. Okay. That is going all in. Not saying, I'm just going to be consistent and like, hopefully, you know, I'll feel like I'm getting closer to my goals. Like, that's not doing anything for you if you have specific goals, right? If your goal is to maintain what you have going on and to feel healthy and just like eat good and all that, like, that's great. But if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have specific physique and or mental goals, right? Like, I want to build muscle. I want to lose body fat. I want to have a good relationship with food. I don't always want to feel guilty for eating XYZ food source. I want to be able to go on date night. I want to be able to go on vacation and not feel like I'm coming back and I'm starting over, or I have to restrict. I want to feel like I'm making progress and not waiting for the other shoe to drop just to gain all the way back and then some. Like, that's who I'm talking to, and that's who we talk to at the Fit Breakthrough. And that I need you to know that that lifestyle exists for you. Because if you would have told me back in 2016, I would be sitting on this podcast, you know, coaching other women through this and living this lifestyle myself, I would have thought you were literally crazy. And again, you don't need a coach to do these things, but that is where the lifestyle change switched for me. That for me had to be how I went all in, because the minute that I made a monetary investment in my goals, I was like, I don't have a choice. You know, there's no going back now. I'm in it. And I have this community and this mentor who's going to almost force me to step up to the plate. And I talked about how I did that, or I have these self-sabotaging habits in fitness and in business. I do the exact same thing for the Fit Breakthrough, right? When I was transitioning into full-time doing this as my career, I had to go all in. I had to say, I'm quitting my job. I'm doing this full time. I have to make monetary investments every single year in the business, mentorships, team members, everything, right? But guess what? The more that I went all in, the more I was forced to step up to the plate, the more that I was like, hey, I can't go back to my old habits. I can't afford to go back to my old habits. This is it. Okay, so whatever you need to do to go all in on your goals, I really want you to say, what does that look like for me? And what am I willing to risk in order to get to where I really want to be? Right? Because again, it's always easier to stay stuck, but I don't want you to go through 1, 2, 5, 10 years down the road and be like, oh man, I should have started then. Because it's like, yeah, girl, we all wish we would have started earlier, okay? The best time to start something was 2 years ago, was 4 years ago when we were all in quarantine and we were all like, I'm going to get in the best shape ever. Girl, that time has passed, okay? It's 4 years later. This is the second best time to start today, okay? You can do this, okay? I am nobody special, okay? I'm nobody special. If I can do this, you can do this, okay? You don't have to do it alone. Find a community, but you can do this. Okay, I got into like my motivational speaking era. We kind of got off track here. But that's number three, guys. Not going all in because you don't want to face the fact that maybe you went all in on something and you still fell short. Because even if you go all in, there's going to be trial and error. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be bad weeks. There might even be mad months. But you know what? If you stick to this and you go all in for long enough, the good is always going to outweigh the bad, and you will never regret going all in on your goals ever. You will never do that. So that is point number three. The fourth way that self-sabotage can be present in your fitness journey is if you fear success and who you need to become in order to maintain the success once you reach your goal. If you fear success, you will not go all in on your goals. You will not achieve your goals. Okay, so let's talk about that, because we talk about fear of failure a lot, and I mentioned this in previous points, but fear of success is also very real. And I think for fitness, we have this idea, and especially if you have this idea of what it takes or what you think it takes to create a lifestyle change, it's very daunting to feel like, well, once I get this success, once I lose the weight, I have to do work for the rest of my life in order to keep this up. Like, that sounds miserable. That sounds hard. That sounds like it's going to take all my time and energy and effort for the rest of my life. I don't know if I want to sign up for that. Right? So what do? You never go for your goals. Okay. Well, I have plenty of episodes, and I recommend you listen to another podcast episode called Discipline Leads to Freedom. And it talks about how to shift your mentality around creating a lifestyle change for yourself and how doing the work in the short term is going to lead to you more effortlessly continuing it in the long term. And it is so true, right? I don't need to track my macros anymore in order to maintain my physique. I don't need to do any extra, you know, tedious cardio that I don't want to do. I could go to the gym 4 days a week and maintain my physique, right? Like, it takes maybe 4 hours a day plus like a couple steps here and there, a couple walks here and there to maintain my physique. And I eat foods that I enjoy, that I know fuel me. I work in, you know, fun foods, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, I could maintain very easily where I'm at. And I did. I stopped tracking macros for 2 years. But the only reason why I started again is because I had specific goals. I was like, hey, I want to go, you know, build more muscle, and then I want to do a cut, right? So again, macros are kind of the tool that is going to condense time for you if you know how to apply it. But if you're on the cusp of making a lifestyle change and all you've done previously are these fad diets that you were miserable doing, of course you're going to look and be like, I'm kind of fearful of wanting to even take the first step to creating a lifestyle change because I don't want to be miserable, right? And again, I understand why you think that, but that's not the reality if you're doing things the right way. The second type of fear that I think people have around success when it comes to making and adopting a healthy and fit lifestyle is who they need to become, right? Maybe you have this fear of outgrowing your current environment. Maybe you have this fear of, oh, well, if I start acting this way and prioritizing these things, am I still going to be able to have the relationships and the friendships and kind of my circle of people who I, you know, hang out with right now? What if I have to start going to the gym and then I can't, you know, watch TV with my partner at night anymore, right? What if I have to, you know, choose to eat healthy all the time and we can't have our pizza night on Sundays? What if my circle starts to judge me because I want to go to bed at a reasonable time to go to the gym the next morning, right? Like, these are real thoughts. And I think sometimes we don't address them because when we say them out loud, like, maybe they seem a little silly to us, but they're not. Like, they're very real. And I want you to know that there is going to be a shift. You're going to outgrow some people. You're going to bring in new people into your life. I'm not saying it's going to be your partner. And I think if anybody, your partner should be like, oh my gosh, you're doing this for you. Like, you're doing this to enhance your life. You're doing this to get towards these goals you've been talking about forever. Like, I'm so excited for you. I think sometimes we build it up in our mind, and then in reality, like, the people who we're worried about or the people who were like, oh man, I want to make sure I'm prioritizing them, like, they're our biggest cheerleaders because they're actually there for us, right? And then maybe you do have friends, or maybe you have, you know, people in your life who are just party friends, and you actually recognize through the shift that you're not really friends with them on a deep level, and that's okay. And you'll see them when you see them, and then you'll bring in more deeper friendships into your life as you move through this lifestyle change, right? It doesn't have to be a bad thing, but I really don't want you to use your environment as an excuse and as a crutch to not grow yourself, okay? You can't do that. you have to prioritize you and understand that there are different ways to go about adopting a lifestyle change. You don't have to give up your Sunday pizza with your husband. You don't have to give up your movie nights. You don't have to be a slave to the gym every single day of the week. And that comes back to, what are your preconceived notions around adopting a healthy and fit lifestyle? I talked to somebody once and they said, you know, I really want to do this, meaning coaching. We were on a coaching call, potential client. She was like, I really want to do this, but I like going to lunch with my husband every single day. He comes to my office. We go out for lunch. We like this really good sandwich place. And I was like, yeah, I want you to do that. Like, that sounds like such a wonderful time. Like, keep doing that. Like, we can prioritize your health and fitness goals and you're going to still do that. Like, that's going to be a non-negotiable in your plan. And she was like, oh my gosh, really? Like, I just felt guilty every time I went out to eat. And I was like, not only are we not going to take away you going out to lunch with your husband, but you're actually going to start to enjoy it so much more because you're not going to have guilt surrounding that event, because you're going to recognize that you're not making a bad or unhealthy decision. There's no such thing as good or bad foods. Like, you're going to start to adopt this new appreciation for this time with your partner, instead of feeling like, one, you have to cut it out in order to be healthy and reach your goals, or two, you're going to do it, but in the back of your head, you're just going to be guilt tripping yourself. Like, how awesome would that be? And that's where she is right now. She's months into working with us one-on-one, and that's where she is. She's no longer guilty about that, right? So that's just one example. Another example, which I talked about in a different episode, I think it's titled like, I'm too busy, or I don't have enough time or something. And it's talking about, if you know the steps you need to take in order to reach your goals, you're going to become more efficient and effective and just feel better and more energized overall, right? Because if you're prioritizing your health, you're going to feel more on top of it. You're going to have less brain fog. You're going to feel more energized. You're going to wake up knowing what you have to do. You're going to become more productive, and you're actually going to free up time in your day to focus on the people that you love, to build connections, to see friends, right? So I think so often we're chained to the idea of, this lifestyle is just going to take up all my time and energy and free time, and I'm not going to have time for any hobbies or any relationships or anything like that. You got to flip that script, because that's not true. I wouldn't be doing that if that was the case. I would not be living this lifestyle if that was the case. And I understand that I work, you know, I do this full time, so I'm very privileged in that sense. But man, we have so many clients who are absolutely crushing it. They're new moms. They work long, long hours, right? Some of them travel every weekend for work. Like, there's so many scenarios where it's like, hey, fitness is going to look a little bit different, but that's exactly right. Fitness looks different for everybody. The way fitness fits into your life is going to look different. And it's going to look different not only for everybody, but for everybody in different seasons of their life, right? So that's another point, or I guess a point that I want to make, is you are already the person who can see success. You are already probably disciplined in one or more areas of your life, whether it's career, whether it's relationships, you know, hobbies, whatever. You're probably a disciplined individual. So I don't think discipline and like needing to become a completely different person in order to reach your fitness goals is actually something that needs to happen. I think you just need to learn how to channel your discipline correctly in a way that's going to enhance your life and lead you to where you want to be fitness-wise. And then the fifth and final way that I have listed, I'm sure there are more, but the fifth way that self-sabotage can be apparent in your fitness journey is by having a fixed mindset and only focusing on what you don't have, justifying it as being a realist or saying, that's just who I am. There are some excuses that are valid. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and say no excuses. Like, there are excuses that are valid. But what we're not going to do is allow our excuse to become our identity. Okay, just because you have ADHD, just because you tend to procrastinate, just because you're a certain age, just because you have a certain schedule, or you have a certain level of responsibility for this, that, or the other thing, or you live too far from a gym, or whatever it is, that excuse is valid. You can sit with it. You can be like, this sucks. I have this going on, and I'm really busy right now. Okay, sit with it, acknowledge it. But what are you going to do about it? Right? Like, what are you going to control? You can't sit with it and then be like, therefore, I'm not going to prioritize my goals, or therefore, shrug the shoulders, I can stay stuck. No, no, we're not going to do that, because like that's not serving you. Okay. That's not being a realist. That's staying stuck and not trying. Okay. So that is my kind of tough love for you, but also just having a fixed mindset. If you are not willing to change, if you are not willing to challenge the belief system that you have right now around what you are capable of doing, you aren't going to grow. You are not going to progress. Okay, if you come in being like, hey, I'm just not the type of person who can go to the gym consistently, or you say, hey, I'm just not the type of person who can track my macros, and you're not even willing to try, that it's gonna be a really, really rough time for you. Like, honestly, and I'm not saying that something works for everybody. It doesn't, right? Like, different people need different protocols. They need different, you know, things that are going to work for them. There's plenty of ways to going around adopting a fitness lifestyle. But if just from the bat, you have this laundry list of things you're not going to try or not going to do, or you feel jaded around or like whatever, it's just going to be really hard to open up it's going to be really hard for you to just adopt a lifestyle change if you're not open to just trying new things. There's going to be an element of vulnerability. There's going to be an element of trial and error. There's going to be an element of figuring out what works for you and what doesn't, and making mistakes. Okay, but that is so important, and that is a part of the process. Okay, because on the other side of this is growth, is figuring out what works for you and running with it, is being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe there was a time when I thought that I couldn't do this, or a time that I thought that this was going to be really difficult. It was for a little bit, but now I'm on the other side of it and I feel so good. I feel like this is second nature, right? It's what I said earlier and what my other podcast episode is about. Discipline leads to freedom. I think as we get older, we get more set in our ways and we don't try new things naturally. Like, the last thing you probably tried that was new was like something new at work, that you like got hired somewhere, you got promoted, and you kind of felt like, man, I have imposter syndrome, man, this is something new, but you didn't have a choice, so you got good at it, and then you're like, oh, okay, cool, now I feel good, right? But we're always trying new things when we're younger. We're always entering into new social circles. We're always needing to adapt. We're always needing to try a new hobby, try a new sport, get better at this, you know, talk to this person, go up in front of the class and do this. Those experiences stop, or they become way less frequent when we're older. So when we need to practice having a growth mindset, if you're not used to that, it's going to be difficult and you're going to fall back into your comfort zone. And your brain is going to tell you that this is just being realistic. You know, oh, this is just my body, my brain's telling me like it's not smart for me to try this. No, your brain only knows what you've tried previously, and you have never experienced success in this way. So of course, you're going to want to stay in your comfort zone. Like, that's going to happen. Okay, but you need to understand that having a growth mindset is key. So the next time that you have something pop up where you know it's a limiting belief, you're like, I have this going on, I can never do this, or I have this challenge, I want you to then say, okay, comma, what am I gonna do about it? Because that's the part of the sentence I care about. Like, I get it. You are a mom, you are a nurse, you have this going on, you have these hours, you don't like this food, you live here, you can't do... Okay, comma, what are you going to do about it? Okay, because we don't all have the same 24 hours in a day, but we can all improve how we're spending our time that we do have. And that's what I care about. I think that social media, there's so much good that comes out of it, but I think one of the negative things that comes out of it is this element of comparison. Oh, they have the dream body, but they also have so much time on their hands, or they're also this age, or they also do this for a living. So they're so lucky. That could never be me. I'm just this way. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, like, yeah, you're probably right. But like, what are you going to do about it? Like, you know, like, are we just going to like live 50, 60 more years and just say that our entire lives? Like, what's actually the plan here? You know, like, that's what I'm not here for. So, and I don't want you to be here for that either. So I want you to, after listening to this podcast episode, maybe listen to it one more time through and be like, all right, like, what am I actually going to do about this? Like, how am I going to seek out these results? Because this matters to me. You know, this fitness journey, adopting this lifestyle, getting to these goals matters to me. Like, how am I going to lead a life that is in alignment with this goal? Right? So those are my five tips. I hope that this resonated with you. And again, I'm not saying I'm all knowing, right? Like, I struggle with these things too. And like, man, I'll tell my clients I'm struggling. Like, a client will say something and I'll be like, girl, I got you. Like, not only did I struggle with this in this capacity before, but this is what I'm going through recently, whether it's with fitness or business, relationships, whatever. And that's another thing too, is like, every lesson that you learn with going after your fitness goals can be translated into other areas of your life. Like, it can transcend into other areas of your life. It's going to play a role in how you just overcome challenges in all areas. Like, and that's what's so beautiful about it. And that's why I'm so passionate about health and fitness. I mean, that's why I love coaching, because it is just so wonderful to see the light bulbs go off and to see the breakthroughs happen and be able to come on out on the other side just a more confident individual. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. I hope it resonated with you. I hope you enjoyed it. And let me know what you think. All right, guys, see you next time.